I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anelio, and you're listening to The Functional Nerds. And John, we're closing in on episode number 300 and the release of your new prog rock concept album, The Functional Nerds, right?
Right. Exactly. That is Patrick Hester. He's an author and a podcaster. You can check out his website, atfmb.com, and follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anelio. I am a musician and a composer and a teacher and a podcaster too. And you can follow me on Twitter at John Anelio. And today we are very excited to be joined by Kevin J. Anderson. Kevin has published, get ready for this, Patrick, 140 books.
Oh, I know.
54 of which have been national and international bestsellers. He's written novels in the Star Wars, X-Files, and Dune universes, as well as the steampunk fantasy novels Clockwork Angels and Clockwork Lives, written with legendary rock drummer Neil Peart, and it's based on the concept album by Rush. He's got original works for the Saga of Seven Suns series, Terra Incognita, and lots of other stuff. He's also, the last time I spoke to Kevin, which is a couple years ago, is when he was talking about the lyrics that he wrote for the rock prog rock CDs based on the Terra Incognita series, and lots of cool stuff to talk about with Kevin. Kevin, thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you. This is working into the schedule, but I've always got something cool going on. But I do have to correct you, since just as of last week, we've had Navigators of Dune on the New York Times bestseller list, so you got to bump that up to 55 instead of
55. I'm going to put that in my notes right now. Yes.
it's just a pain in the butt to keep updating all these bestseller lists, but you know, you got to do it. Well, Navigators of Dune is really the grand finale of all the Dune books that we've been doing. Brian and I have been working on it for 15 or 16 years, and we've done a bunch of different trilogies and different time frames of the Dune history. And this one wraps up a trilogy that began with Sisterhood of Dune, about the Bene Gesserit Sisterhood, and then went to Mentats of Dune, about the Mentats. And then this one is about the Navigators and the Spacing Guild, the origin of all that 10,000 years before Dune. And that wraps up the trilogy, and it kind of clears up some big storylines. And after all this time, Brian and I have decided that this is kind of it's the last one we're planning, at least at the moment. We're catching our breath and recharging our creative batteries and doing some other cool things. And we have some really interesting things and maybe some Dune games and graphic novels and other stuff coming up. So we're not done with Dune. We're just taking our break with some brand new novels at the moment.
I've always been surprised that there aren't more Dune games.
Well, you would be surprised unless you remembered that all the rights are like tangled with two different movies and all kinds of things. So it wasn't that nobody wanted to do them. It was just a legal labyrinth, which we think is pretty well cleared up now. We can get going. So we're excited about some possibilities, but don't go to your game store yet. We're considering them at the moment. I know you hang out at the game store, but give it a little bit.
It's like the how Spider-Man movies were, you know, they had Spider-Man movies in the works for like 20 years, but it was always, you know, three different companies owned rights to it. And obviously that was finally cleared up.
I was going to do it at one time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I remember they were just trying to get a TV series going. And, you know, this was your younger listeners won't understand that there was a time in like the 70s and 80s, which was the vast science fiction and fantasy and superhero desert in entertainment, that there was nothing on TV. There was nothing in the movies. You couldn't really see much of anything. In fact, we watched Buck Rogers every single week because it was the absolute only science fiction show on television on any network anywhere. So just the thought of having a Spider-Man show was terrific. And then finally, they did come out with a version of The Flash that I think it ran for 5 or 6 episodes. In fact, they even had
a full season.
Was it a full season?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
It was, in fact, Mark Hamill played
Trickster.
Yes, the Trickster in it, which was cute to have him show up in the new Flash series in the same role. But anyway.
And the Flash from that old series is playing the new Flash's dad.
I didn't even connect it. Okay. See, this is Functional Nerds. We are functional. As long as we talk to other nerds, in fact, we had, I was 10. I'm doing this interview just to show you just how much I appreciate all of you guys. I'm doing this interview from the lobby of the hospital because my wife Rebecca Mesta just had some back surgery last week and she's still recovering and hopes to go home tomorrow. But we had this scheduled, so I'm kind of holed up in the corner of a hospital waiting room. But because she had some equipment and hardware put in to hold her vertebrae together. One of the people who works for WordFire Press texted me to say, is she fully an android and bionic now? And they said, well, I think Harrison Ford could still detect her as a replicant. And he wrote back and said, I don't believe it because Harrison Ford couldn't even detect that he himself was a replicant. How good is he? And I wrote him back. I said, these are not conversations you can have with normal people.
But you can have them here. You can have them here.
We can have them here. I'm assuming your audience can understand these things.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we have a lot to talk about with Kevin today. As he said, he's always got a lot of projects, and we're here to talk about one specifically, and I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of the other ones as well. Before we get into all that, I want to take a quick moment to let people know that if you enjoy these interviews with folks like Kevin, consider becoming one of our patrons over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. You can back us at $1 a month or a couple dollars a month, whatever you want, whatever you feel like the show is worth to you in terms of value, finding out about cool new books by people like Kevin and all the other cool guests we have. Once again, consider going over to patreon.com/functionalnerds. And with that, let's get on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And Kevin, did you have a pick prepared, either something you'd like to recommend, like a book or a movie or something like that, or a TV show or something that you've been into lately?
Let's see. I did not have one prepared, but since I was prepared for Rebecca's surgery this week, we weren't doing too much. Although, let's see, what did we just watch? We blitzed through all the episodes of The Blacklist, which isn't exactly science fiction and fantasy, but it's got James Spader in it, who was in the movie Supernova, which I wrote the novelization for. So see, there's your 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, and we enjoyed that. We are very much looking forward to the Walking Dead premiere, which is coming up. But, you know, we better watch that before any idiot blab spoilers all over social media, because as you might remember from the end of last season, there's a bit of a thing we're waiting to see at the opening of this next episode. Let's see, we watched all the episodes of The Flash, so we're all caught up with that, and we were going to watch Supergirl, but then Rebecca fell asleep, so that's kind of on pause at the moment. And I'm all caught up with Gotham, which I love. So pick of the week, I guess. I'm all caught up with Gotham, so that would be my pick of the week. Go get yourself caught up. I really enjoy that show.
Excellent. Good. My pick this week is going to be a book by Robert Brockway. It's called The Unnoticeables. It's the first in the Vicious Circuit trilogy. It's put out through, I believe, Tor, and it's a very, very cool, very concise urban fantasy. It's called The Unnoticeables.
Okay.
And it's by Robert Brockway, and it takes place in two time periods. It takes place in late 1970s New York during the punk scene, and it takes place in modern day Los Angeles, and it goes back and forth between two characters, one like a punk in the punk scene and the other a female stunt person. And it's really cool. It's like really dark and really evil and grotesque, but really funny too. Robert Brockway is the writes for cracked.com. So he's got a really unique voice, and it's just really good, like scary but funny. Really cool. Very unique book. I have had it sitting here for like a year and finally got around to reading it. It's a short book too. It's only like maybe like 270 pages or something like that. So it's a quick read. So if you dig that kind of stuff, I recommend it highly. Again, The Unnoticeables by Robert Brockway. Patrick, what's your pick?
Well, I've recently, John, I always listen to audiobooks, and mm-hmm. I've been going through quite a few this year. I think I'm like at 35 audiobooks this year mm-hmm. so far. And I recently went through all of the Rhaera books by Michael J. Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And I love the narrator, love those books. So I'm doing a double pick. Those audiobooks, number one. Number two, he has a Kickstarter going with the Dabble Brothers, who are, they do a lot of graphic novels. Mm-hmm. And they've done some stuff like with the Wheel of Time and different, we'll call them intellectual properties. Mm-hmm. And they are doing a graphic novel of the Death of Dalgarth, I think is how it's pronounced. And it's the most recent of the Rhaera Chronicles books or revelations. I forget. There's two different sets or three different time periods in his Rhaera books. And the prequel ones, I can't remember if it's Chronicles or Revelations. It might be Chronicles. And it's the third book in that. And they are adapting that as a graphic novel. And it's a Kickstarter. It's already funded. So if someone wants to go and back it, at this point, you're just getting all the good stuff and the perks. So I would definitely go check that out.
Sweet. All right. Well, you know, Kevin's here to talk about, amongst other things, a Kickstarter that he is a part of with Tacomo Games. So, Kevin, why don't you tell us about the Kickstarter and about what people can get?
And about Kevin J. Anderson Presents.
Yes.
Well, then allow me to present. Well, this is my publishing house, Wordfire Press, has, boy, I think we're up to nearly 300 titles that we've released now, including one coming up from a Mr. Patrick Hester. But yeah. It's difficult dealing with the author, just depending on how long it takes to get that one through. But I was approached a while ago by the Tacomo Gaming Universe, which is a very popular big science fiction, space opera, military science fiction computer game. And they were kind of interested in seeing if I would write some fiction for them, and my schedule's kind of overwhelmed. But we started brainstorming because I have a lot of writers that I work with, and at Wordfire Press we're interested in expanding to some other properties and things. So we came up with me helping to back and launch some new big science fiction books based on this Tacomo Universe game. And the author that they had picked up is a guy named Steve Raza, and he's published a few other books, but he's really into the game and really had worked with the Tacomo people before. And so we put together, Wordfire is going to be publishing his first novel, sort of this big epic origin story of the Tacomo universe. It's called Empire's Rift. We got some great artwork for the cover, and Steve wrote a big, big epic book, lots of multiple storylines and planets and space battles and all the good stuff that game players will enjoy it. But even if you're not a game player, it's a big science fiction epic. So we ran a Kickstarter just so that we could fund paying for Steve's work and paying for using the art and the production and everything. And within less than 48 hours, mm-hmm. I think something like 30 hours, we hit our pledge goal to pay for the book. And then we added a stretch goal to see if we could do an audiobook on it. And within a few more days, we hit the audiobook goal. So there's going to be the novel actually, which comes out very soon, because we were confident the Kickstarter would fund, so we were running it through production. That comes out in a few weeks. In fact, in Denver, we're having a launch party, I think, on November 12th at the Hard Rock Cafe in downtown Denver. See, we don't mess with anything. We're going to probably have Aerosmith there playing. Well, they might be playing it on the intercom. Anyway, so we backed the audio and we backed the book, and we just added another stretch goal for the sequel, which Steve Raza, being an optimistic guy and full of energy, he's already writing the sequel novel called Strife's Cost. And that's where we're stretching at now. So we just added that one. So if you go to Kickstarter.com and you just type in the keyword Tacomo, TAKAMO, you'll find us. And Kickstarter itself loved our project so much that they selected it as one of their projects we love. I think maybe somebody there plays the game or something. But anyway, we've got these books, and this is the first Kickstarter that Wordfire Press has ever been involved in. We haven't run any specifically ourselves, but this is just to add some production costs back. But it's really working out well for us. I mean, I can't believe we funded in less than 2 days, and stretch goal in less than a week, I think. But there's going to be more really cool things added to it. Right now, of course, if you're a backer, you get either the ebook or the print book, and there's some posters and audiobooks and everything else that's in it. But we're going to keep adding some even cooler high-end things, like I believe I've donated a full set of autographed copies of all of the Dune hardcovers we've done. I think that's 14 of them. And I tell you, a lot of them have been out of print in hardcover for quite a while. So this is going to be tough to find unless you're one of our backers here. And I will add a character named after you in one of my books for another goal. I think Steve Raza will put a character named after you in the next book in the Takamo Universe series. And, you know, all kinds of geeky, nerdy stuff that you're all going to love. So take a look at it. It's pretty cool. There's a video on there about, that we filmed at Worldcon in Kansas City, that we were showing off some of the authors and some of the WordFire Press projects. So here, I twist your arm. Go at least play our video and pledge a buck. Pledge 10 bucks. Pledge 10 bucks to us and 5 bucks to Patreon for the Functional Nerds podcast. And then we can have all the stuff that you could possibly want.
It was cool, John, because I was watching the video on the Kickstarter, and I'm going, wait a minute. Wait, that's what he was wearing at WorldCon. Wait, that's Kevin Eikenberry standing behind him at the WordFire booth. Hey, I know all these people.
That's great. Now, are there going to be plans for so Steve Ross is writing the main book there. Are there going to be – is the – you know, thought from here on out that this is going to be sort of a continuing universe that other authors are going to write in as well?
Yeah, in fact, it's a big science fiction epic universe. Mm-hmm. So lots of writers can take different characters, different planets and stuff. So the second book is done by Steve because we wanted to get the momentum going, and he's building on what he's already got going. The third author, which that'll be announced in the next stretch goal or maybe another Kickstarter, is John Helfers, who has written a whole bunch of other gaming novel tie-ins and things. But we're hoping that this gets established well enough that we do just a series of other authors. And Kevin J. Anderson Presents is just me adding a little nudge to it because I've taken a pretty close interest in this one. And we might even open that up to some other books that WordFire publishes. But for now, it's strictly listed with the Takamo books. But it's just kind of a cool way of being homegrown but big books at the same time. Because, you know, WordFire, I still think of it as a homegrown thing. But we've got like 12 employees. And we release 4 or 5 books a month. And we're all around the world and have a bunch of authors. I think 90-some authors in the last count. So it's homegrown, but maybe it's grown out of control, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's more books than a lot of science fiction and fantasy, you know, even like some of the bigger or maybe, you know, some of the medium-sized ones publish within a month. You know, we get books sent to us by all the publishers, and, you know, I feel like some of them are more like maybe they're 3 or 4 books a month, if that. I mean, some of them, you have the real big ones that put lots and lots, but that's a healthy amount of books to put out on a monthly basis.
Well, and we're using a lot of the new technology. We're doing it on demand with the Create Space. It's a company that does it. We're trying to expand maybe to get a distributor, and we've got lots of authors. A lot of them have been friends of mine for years, and they've had either books that didn't find their market or out of print copies. I'm kind of excited. We've got some stuff coming up. We are reissuing all of Robert Asprin's Fool's Company books, major bestseller, humorous, military science fiction. They've been out of print for ages, and we're just releasing those. We got Jody Lynn Nice, a bunch of her novels. Alan Dean Foster gave us a brand new book because he really likes our we're like a co-op. I mean, we produce it, but we rely on the authors to do a lot of the promotion. But then the authors also, they write their own cover copy, and they work with us on the cover art, and they help us present. If you watch the Takamo video, you'll see a bunch of stuff in the background. WordFire has gone to 21 major conventions and comic shows this year. So we sort of have like a pop-up bookstore where we have all of our books, and we have guest authors there signing copies, and we have other guest authors from other publishing houses. We've had Christopher Paolini and R.A. Salvatore and Terry Brooks and Jim Butcher and Sherilyn Kenyon. Lots of big authors that just come because that's where the cool kids go. You know, we call it the Tower of Nerd. We have this 23-foot tall thing with posters for the authors on it. And because we're taking our stuff out to the directly to the fans. I mean, this, like your listeners, the Functional Nerds, we know where the readers of science fiction and fantasy are. They're not necessarily at a Walmart book section. They're out at Dallas Comic Con and Cincinnati Comic Con, where you'll have 50, 60, 70,000 people that come in, and they're all in steampunk cosplay or zombie cosplay or superhero cosplay. And you know, if somebody walks by wearing a steampunk outfit, then I can talk to them about the Clockwork Angels books that I did with Neil Peart from Rush. Or if they're wearing a zombie outfit, then I can pitch them the Dan Shamble zombie PI books. Or, you know, it's easy to identify what people like to read by what they're dressed as or what T-shirts they're wearing. I can't tell you how many times somebody been walking by wearing a giant, like a Rush T-shirt with a giant logo on it. So you wave at them and come over and said, well, have you listened to the Clockwork Angels album? Have you read the Clockwork Angels novel? So we were able to go directly to people that way. And over the course of my career, I've done, last count, something like 29 book tours, which is going around from like Barnes & Noble to Barnes & Noble to an independent bookstore, and you just go city to city, and you're hoping that the fans of your books will happen to show up at the Barnes & Noble that night that you happen to be there. And it just seems to be a much more effective way to show up at a Comic-Con where there's tens of thousands of self-identified nerds. And mm-hmm. those are the people that we want to talk to. And they're the ones that get excited when they go, oh, my gosh, it's Christopher Paolini signing autographs. Whereas if he's in a Walmart, you might not know who he is.
And John, right? John, just to throw it out there, the first WorldCon that WordFire showed up at was a couple of years ago.
At Spokane.
And Gail Carriger, our friend Gail Carriger, friend of the podcast, she was telling me that she loved hanging out at that booth because it was a center of energy that she hadn't seen at WorldCon before. I mean, it was crowded all the time. There was tons of people there. People were really looking and were interested in books and were buying books. And the authors who were working the booth at the time had such great energy and were engaging with fans. And she just loved that. And now imagine, they do that 22 times a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing.
We still have energy left. And we still have energy left.
Yeah. Somehow.
Well, Kevin, you brought it up, and I have to ask you about it because I'm a huge Rush fan, and I'm reading Clockwork Angels right now. I'm about two-thirds of the way through it, and it's to me, it's you know, being a fan of your books from back in the day with the Star Wars novels that you wrote, and being a massive Rush fan. This is really just everything that I love in life, basically. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about. I know you've had a friendship with Neil for many years now, but how that project came about for you.
Well, Neil, my very, very first novel, Resurrection Inc., which was published in 1988, was inspired by a Rush album called Grace Under Pressure.
One of my favorite Rush albums. I know it's an underrated Rush album. It's one of my favorites.
I actually don't listen to it very much anymore because I've listened to it 10 billion times.
Yes. So
it's kind of burned in my brain. Yeah. But the songs in there inspired my first novel, and I put that in the acknowledgments. And Neil Peart read it, and he wrote me a 7-page single-space fan letter about how much he liked the novel. Well, that was kind of a nice thing to receive. And we've been friends for, I think, more than 25 years now. And the latest Rush album, that studio album that they have called Clockwork Angels, is a big concept steampunk fantasy storyline with an anarchist and alchemy and airships and steampunk carnivals and pirates and lost cities. And when Neil was thinking of it, coming up with the ideas for the whole concept of it, he was writing me and brainstorming some stuff with me. And as he developed the story, we just kept talking about it so much that he got it in his head that there should be a lot more than just an album, and including a novel. And he asked if I would be the one to write the novel, which didn't take me very long to say yes. And we brainstormed it together and developed the novel and the characters, which is a lot more detailed than the songs are, because the lyrics of the songs are just like little snapshots of pieces in the story. And we wrote Clockwork Angels. It was brought out by ECW Press, which is a fine Canadian publisher, so they were able to put beautiful artwork in it, and that hit the New York Times bestseller list. In fact, WordFire Press is the publisher of the ebook versions of it worldwide now. And then Neil and I, because we love the characters so much and we love the story, We developed another one, which is, it's not really a sequel. It's more like a side book called Clockwork Lives, which it's almost like a Canterbury Tales with a frame story. And I think that's even better than Clockwork Angels. In fact, we've been talking about my numbers and everything. I think Clockwork Lives is my favorite book of all 140 that I've written.
Wow.
I'm so proud of it, and I really love it. And it it just won the Colorado Book Award, and it's, which is kind of hard to do because it's sort of a literary award. So if you're a science fiction fantasy writer, to win that, it says something. And I'm very proud of it. And ECW did extremely beautiful red leather bound with gold embossed letters stamped into it. So anyway, I can go on and on with it. It just, I love that. I love the book and love the story in it. And I loved working with Neil, so I can really get my geek on and go. You know, there are times I sit back and go, if I had sent my current bio back to my 16-year-old nerdy kid in Wisconsin, the kid with thick glasses and hand-me-down clothes and bad haircut who couldn't get a date to save his life but was reading comic books and getting wedgies because nobody liked nerds back in those days, I think I wouldn't believe that, you know, yes, I've spent time working with Chris Carter from The X-Files, with George Lucas and writing 50 Star Wars books, and DC Comics asking me if I'll write Batman and Superman. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, you don't really believe happens. And then working with Frank Herbert's son to write new Dune novels to finish up that story, and to look at Frank Herbert's original handwritten notes and see some of the, like Dead Sea Scrolls, some of the coolest things that you've ever imagined looking at this. It's just, I have a cool job. I'm happy about it.
Yeah. I will go ahead and recommend, if you are a Rush fan, this is a must read, because there's lots, and especially if you've like listened to Rush's whole catalog, because there's lots of Easter eggs of Rush lyrics throughout. Yeah, and it's really, if you're a Rush fan, it's a delight to read. So I highly recommend that one. All right, Kev.
I wanted to throw in there, because I also, just 5 or 6 months ago, I edited an anthology called 2113, which is all a bunch of short stories inspired by Rush songs, and that's also out from ECW Press. And I wrote the sequel to 2112, and Dave Farland wrote a story inspired by Tom Sawyer. And, I can rattle them off. I've got all kinds of best-selling and award-winning authors who have written stories based by their favorite Rush songs. And I put that together as a collection. So 2113.
Is Greg Van Eekhout in that?
Yes, he is. He wrote a story inspired by Subdivisions. And it's one of the coolest, freakiest stories in the whole book. So he's in there. Stephen Saville, Michael Z. Williamson and Brad Torgerson and Brian Hodge, Mercedes Lackey. I'm sorry, I can't remember my own people in this book. Ron Collins wrote a story. These are, I had to identify, this was a little embarrassing. I posted on Twitter saying that among my author friends, I'm looking for big time Rush fans. And somebody wrote me back and said, you know that there's this teeny girl band called Big Time Rush. never heard of them. No, I don't want fans of Big Time Rush. I just want Rush fans who are enthusiastic.
Yeah, my son, he's 10 years old. He loves all the Nickelodeon stuff, so I'm used to hearing the Big Time Rush. It's like a Nickelodeon show. That's like a boy band. That's hilarious. That's really funny.
Yes, I did not think of that.
Yeah. No, I figured Greg must have been in that book. I think I remember saying something about it, but Greg and I are friends on Twitter, and half of the time we talk on Twitter, it's usually about Rush. So that's great. I'm going to have to pick that one up now, too. All right. Well, it is time to let Kevin go, and we appreciate him taking the time the hospital today to come and talk to us. So thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Once again, there is the Kickstarter for the Takamo games. Go and check that out. I should also mention that you could follow Kevin on Twitter at the KJA, and you can check out his website, which is wordfire.com, and he's got lots of books out there and lots of cool stuff. So go and check out what Kevin's doing. Kevin's at lots of cons, so basically just go to some con and you'll probably see Kevin. But what specific cons are you going to be going to in the near future, Kevin?
Well, right now I'm catching my breath because we just finished New York Comic Con, and it was the last one we're doing this year. I'm kind of not out again until February. And I know that we're planning to go to, let's see, Pensacon in Pensacola. And we've got Planet Comic Con in Kansas City and absolutely doing Dragon Con. We do that every year. We're still right now kind of filling up what we're doing for next year. Probably we'll be at Phoenix Comic Con. Probably we'll be at, well, I don't know, Emerald City Comic Con we're looking at. There's so many cons in the calendar, you don't know how many I can go to, because I keep forgetting sometimes that I have to spend some time writing books, which is sort of why I got into this in the first place.
When is Superstars?
Superstars is the first week in February in Colorado Springs, and that is a high-end sort of how to build your career as a writer. Little amateur stuff. It's more of a grad level thing. And this year we are instructors. It's me and my wife Rebecca Mesta, as well as David Farland and Eric Flint and James Artemis Owen. But we've also got guest instructors of Jim Butcher and Jonathan Mayberry and Jody Lynn Nye. Who else do we have? We have the head of Audible.com is going to be there talking about audio rights. We've got one of the editors from Tor Books. We've got the head of Kobo. So it's a pretty high-end and very intense 3 or 4 days worth of instruction about writing and managing your career. So superstarswriting.com, you can look up there, and I probably forgot some of our instructors in that list because my head is so full of other details. But that'll be our 7th year, so that one's doing well too. Why do I do all these things? I have no spare time.
Well, we're happy that you do all those things, Kevin. Thanks again for being a guest. Once again, for us, if you dig what we do, consider becoming one of our backers over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. Patrick, anything you want to mention before we go?
Only because you mentioned Audible, I have to do my, this is Audible.
It's good.
Just right. Okay.
Yeah. Good. All right, everybody. Have a great week. We will see you next time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?